direct from the web, it's Billy Masters Live. And now, please welcome your host, Billy Masters.
Oh, we're here. We are back. We're Billy Masters Live. Okay, Martha Wash and I were just laughing backstage. So excuse us. We're having technical issues. I'm getting comfortable because this is going to be a hell of a show. Welcome to Billy Masters Live. I am, of course, your host, Billy Masters. And today, if somebody's on tech, look at today is Thursday, March 18th, 2021. We are almost at a year that we started these shows. We're like at, I don't know, we did 75 shows in the first season. In 2020. So we're like at 85 shows. I don't know how many shows this is. So anyway, I guess it's happy anniversary. I really don't know. I don't want to waste time talking about me because we've got Martha Wash. We've got Jeannie Tracy. We've got Divas. We've got Dance. We've got Dish. We've got a little bit of everything. So, but I want to just talk, instead of starting an anecdote about, well, this is kind of about my life, because I have a unique relationship with the voice of Martha Wash. In 1990, I turned 21, started to go to clubs. And on oldies night, in gay clubs, they used to, I'm sure straight clubs too, but gay clubs, there was always an oldies night, which was a disco night. And I would hear It's Raining Men or Mighty Real. And I was always struck by this woman's powerful voice that just spoke to me. Well, around that same time, and you know, these songs were, I don't know, like almost two decades old at that point. No, not two decades, a decade. I guess Mighty Real and Sylvester was like late 70s and then Weather Girls was early 80s. So there's 1990. Well, I'm driving to college and I hear the same exact voice singing like Everybody Dance Now and Gonna Make You Sweat. And I'm like, that's the same person. I mean, I know voices. It is an unmistakable voice. It's a voice that transcends generations, eras, genres. There is nobody like the incredible Martha Wash.
Hello, darling. How are you?
Hello. All right, I'm not going to get too close. You don't have to kiss me.
Oh, my God. How are you, honey?
I am so good. I am so glad that we were talking this past couple weeks, talking about, I mean, I first met you doing LA Gay Pride, I think. I found some pictures of us from back in the day. Not that far back, but there we are.
My gosh.
I think that's 2004, maybe. And I was hosting, and I was hosting with Mama. But then more recently, you and I were backstage both performing at, where is it, Divas Simply Singing.
Oh,
look at that skinny bitch.
Oh, my gosh.
And here, and I was playing for Jennifer Lewis and you were singing.
Yeah.
And the one thing I have to say about having been backstage with you, you would think this big voice, this big presence, that you'd have this prep, you'd have to be like a nun, you'd have to be alone. You are so centered and yourself. Up until the point you walk on stage, you would not think that you even had a show to do. You just go and do your work.
Yeah. That's basically it.
So like when people at home watching this go to the office, the stage is like your office.
Basically, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm do like, you feel any pressure before you hit that stage? Or do you just say, you know what you have to do?
I know what I have to do. And I go out there and do it to the best of my ability. I get nervous before doing shows.
Do you really?
Oh, sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And especially with my band.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
See, now I would think band shows are easier than track shows because you've got all that support behind you.
That's true. That's true. But it still doesn't keep you from being nervous. You know, antsy, anticipation, you know, the whole thing. Sure.
And anything can happen in a live show.
You want it to be as great as possible. You're giving them your all, and hopefully that they're very receptive to your work, you know.
That brings up an interesting point. Have you ever found an audience that wasn't receptive, that you had to work a little harder to pull them in?
Sure, you get those every now and then.
Yeah.
You know, and you can kind of feel it, you know, and you know, you're singing, you're doing your show, but you're also thinking at the same time, okay, this may be a hard show. You know, if they're not really right there with you, or, you know, into you that much, you still try and do the best that you can, you know, give them as good a show as possible. Mm. You may find some in there that will appreciate, you know, your show. But then you're always going to have those that are just going to kind of sit back and say,
do you know, because see, as a comic, I always notice the one that's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And so you notice it too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you end up working harder to get that person?
You try your best. And sometimes it still doesn't even matter.
Like at the end of the night, if you've got them, it's like, okay, I got it.
Hey, all you can do is do your best.
Mm.
You know, that's really it.
You know, we backstage when we were having our tech things, and I laughed saying, we have played every toilet and every Taj Mahal around the world. And I find that it doesn't matter. You can be in a little gay bar with five people, or you can be at a stadium with 500,000, and things just happen. And you always think, you know, when I moved to Hollywood, I don't know, 22 years ago, I thought to myself, oh, now it's Hollywood. There aren't going to be the problems I had in Cambridge, Massachusetts, because it's Hollywood. And I'm like, it's exactly the same.
Oh, sure. It does not matter where you are. A lot of times you'll find the same kind of situation, you know, people that appreciate your music, people that don't appreciate your music, people that don't know who you are.
Do people come to see you and don't know who you are?
At times.
Yeah.
At times. What they'll say, you know, they may be with somebody else or a group of people, and I'll sing a particular song, usually it's Rainy Man or something like that, one of the other songs. And they'll say, I didn't know she's the one that sang that song. Yeah, seriously. So, wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, you've got so many songs. I think I looked online and you've got like 15 number one dance hits. Like, that's staggering, and over like three decades. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Those numbers comes and goes between 15.
Yeah, and they always say different charts, and it's hard to figure it out. It's like, exactly. Look, that's how you keep track.
That's why I've never tripped on it. That's why I've never.
Really?
No, never. Never. People will get my attention.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. No, I've never tripped on it.
You know, and it's funny, for somebody who has had so many hits, and I've been backstage with so many people, I've introduced so many people, sometimes the bigger they are, or the bigger the name, or the bigger number of hits, the more airs they put on, or the more distant they are. And again, I've seen you over the years. You have always been, hi, I'm Martha. When am I on? Like, you're just there to do your job. It's not like I'm Miss Wash and Bow and none of that. No star trip with you.
That's it. That's what I came to do. And hopefully be as gracious as possible. You know, that is what I am contracted to do, is to do a show.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
You know, people know I've said this many times, because I'm also a musician. I'm also a pianist. And so I have the most enormous respect for talent. But more than just a lead singer, I always zoom in on a background singer, because I don't think civilians understand how hard it is to be a session singer, a background singer, a studio singer, that you will be required to sing the lead, to go up a third, down a fifth. It's like you fill in where you're needed. And not anybody can do that. That is a very hard skill. And you have to be flexible. And I've seen you do it all. How did you get your training being able to sing anything at any time?
Believe it or not, I started learning how to harmonize with TV shows.
Really?
I learned how to sing with commercials, TV commercials.
Would you sing along at home?
I would sing with the TV commercials.
And would you think to yourself, oh, I'm going to harmonize this time and I'm going to sing lead this time?
Yeah. It would, you know, bits and pieces. Yeah.
Did you even know what that meant, or were you just singing what sounded good to you?
It kind of what sounded good to me.
Yeah.
You know, with the ear that I have, you know, through trial and error, you learn, you know, it's like, no, that wasn't the right note there. You know, that kind of, trust me, and I still do that to this day. I still do that too. Commercials and TV shows and stuff. I'll give you one particular TV show that I used to harmonize with, and that is a Michael J. Fox show.
Family Ties.
If you remember that song, the intro is recorded with Denise Williams and Johnny Mathis.
Right. That's right. It's a duet. And
it's a duet. But I would put a third harmony on there.
See?
And it's intricate towards the end of the intro, you know. And when I hear it, if I hear it again, you know, today, I would still do the same thing.
Wow.
Still do the same thing. And I'm like, oh, I still didn't get that note right there. But that it's the funniest thing. That's the way I learn how to keep going, as far as, I guess, maybe training myself.
Yeah, because that is a gift. That's ear training. But also, a lot of singers cannot hear their own voice back. So the fact that you can do that is a great tool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have heard of artists and kind of been in the company of artists that could not necessarily sing harmony very well.
Again, so have I. and it is staggering.
And again,
I think that if you can do it yourself, which I can as well, it seems so easy because you don't put any thought into it.
Right.
And the fact that somebody can't, and that they don't recognize it.
Well, this person recognized it.
Oh, really? They
admitted it. They said, wow. I can't do harmony very well, because they were used to being kind of a solo singer.
Sure.
As opposed to being a solo singer and also being able to sing background as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there are a few out there. You know,
but it is hard. And I think I'm glad that the documentary that won the Oscar shined a light on background singers and started to educate people. We've had Darlene Love on here. Right. We've had the Pointer Sisters, who, again, in a group, who they get to switch off melody, harmony. There's a reason people don't do that a lot. It's that
exactly.
They can't.
And those, and especially, I want to say family mm-hmm. singers, especially. They definitely know how to switch, like you say, back and forth, because they sing together so much and rehearse so much that they can hear each other's notes.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody falls off somewhere, the other person can catch that note.
Yep.
You know, and it's just something. There's a lot. I'm not the only one. There's a lot of people out there that can do that.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I don't think they get the credit.
True.
too. You know, I know Ruth Poynter told me, she's like, sometimes my sisters and I will swap off because I hear, you know, Anita's riffing and I'm like, oh, go girl, because you're a fan of that, and I'll take the harmony. Or where, and I think, and also as performers, isn't that fun?
Yeah.
It's scary too.
But yeah, but it is fun.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to talk about Sylvester at the end when we bring Jeannie on. But you, what I understand is you did come out of a church background. You sang in a church, which I think is great training, again, because you're hearing the broken down parts.
Correct.
And what I don't think people realize, with Sylvester, most of the time you sang the bottom.
No, I sang over him.
Oh, were you over him?
Yes.
But you also have sung lower harmonies because I've heard your voice. I mean, there's a range is the point.
Yeah, I have sung. I'll tell you, in one particular song with Sylvester and Izora and myself, it was in Emotions. I think it's Don't Ask My Neighbor.
Okay.
And it was that song and another particular song, I'll Never Hear the Bells. If you leave me, I'll never hear the bell. That was another one I think we did. And at the end of that doggone song, I would always wind up on the bottom. It's the craziest thing. And I would just laugh. So, okay, I wound up on the bottom again. Okay, cool. You know.
But you were just in the moment.
Exactly. You know, because Sylvester would wind up on the top. Izora would be in the middle and I'd wind up on the bottom.
Okay. Well, I mean, your voice is so distinctive. I mean, all three of you had very distinctive voices, which is what makes it magical. Right. But I would say, oh, there you go. Martha's got the lead. What the hell happened? Now she's at the bottom. And
yeah.
And you've told the story a million times, so I'm not going to make you repeat it. You went in to sing for Sylvester. You didn't even really know what you were there for. Nope. Two skinny bitches are there. You sang, and he said to them, get out. Got any more big girlfriends that can sing?
Yeah.
That's basically it.
And brought in Izora, and the rest is history.
How did you meet Izora?
I knew Izora from us singing in different community choirs.
Okay.
Plus, her church was right next door to my church. And the only thing that separated the two churches was a little small walkway. And sometimes during the summer, when it's hot, you know, churches were hot and stuff, and they would raise the windows and we could hear each other's services going on at the same time.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you met through music, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So my understanding is that Sylvester really was supportive of you guys going solo and spinning you off into your own group. Is that true?
Well,
maybe not.
Well, with Sylvester, I think his feelings were kind of hurt, you know.
Really?
Yeah. But Harvey Fuqua, the producer, said that, you know, it's like, it's time for you guys to record your own album, and we said, hey, okay, cool. And that's how we really started with the Two Tons first album, but we were still singing with Sil at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the first album didn't come out until 1980.
Oh, okay. So you were still singing, able to work with him.
Exactly. And then when our album came out, we opened for him a couple of times.
Oh, how great.
And then still turned around and sang background for him. So, you know.
So do you get two checks when that happens?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay. So, again, I'm trying to avoid the stories that everyone asks you.
Okay. And then let's move on. Okay.
I know. No, so that's fine. So I know that you got Raining Men, and there's lots of discussion of, did Paul Jabara give it to Diana, Cher, Donna, and they all passed. But certainly that's how he got you guys.
Well, that was what he told me.
And I say you stick with that story. That's the only story you know.
Exactly. And I have always also added if you stop and think about it and close your eyes, can you imagine Barbara Streisand singing It's Raining Men?
That's true.
Okay, so I guess it was to be.
Well, it is certainly the perfect marriage of a song and talent, because it really, you would think that it was written for your voices. Did you have to do much to make it your own?
No, not really. We just walked in there and laid down the vocals. We did it in about 90 minutes and walked.
Because my understanding is the track was already done. The backgrounds were even done.
Everything was finished except the lead vocals.
Wow.
Everything was done.
Do you think your training as a background and a session singer helps you in that situation? Because this is what we've got. Okay, I'll give you what you need.
It probably didn't hurt. Yeah.
So I've got a clip. Now, people watching on the replay, if the clips are gone because there's a copyright issue, then you should have been watching live. But let's show a clip, because I think this is really amazing. This is you singing with Izora on Letterman the first time. You actually, first night you met Paul Schaefer, who wrote the music, and then goes into 30 years later, you singing it on Letterman. That very busy set.
A cast of thousands.
I call that Cirque du Soleil.
A cast of thousands.
Okay, let's show the clip. That's a little too busy.
You think?
See, now you, every time I've seen you on stage, you're very much a, I'm here, I'm going to sing, you guys move.
You're about right. I'm not a dancer.
But what do you, well, but you work. I mean, especially when you, back in the day with Izora, you guys really, you stalked the stage.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you've got you and you've got this presence. Also, she's got a little bit of metal and sneer in her voice, and you've got the power and almost trumpet sound. So it really blends together perfectly.
Going back to what you said about Sylvester, I guess that's what made him get us, you know, the all three sounds were different, but it blended well enough that it could work.
Yeah, and absolutely.
For the sound that he wanted.
When did the Weather Girls break up? If there was even a formal breakup, how did that split happen?
It was 89.
Okay.
On 89, 90. Yeah. It was time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It had been then how many years? Like 14 years or something?
Since
when you go back to the Sylvester days too,
'70s, yeah, about 14 years or so, yeah.
And Izora was then, I don't know when it happened, she was performing with her daughter.
Yes, they were living in Germany and performing under the name The Weather Girls.
Were you okay with that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So you guys stayed friends or friendly?
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't seen her because she was still living in Germany for the most part. I think Jeannie spoke to her more than I did or saw her more often than I did. Last time I saw her, she came over to the house. I can't even tell you what year it was, but it was a few years before she passed.
Right. I had met the daughter. I saw her and her daughter once, and they were great. And I liked the way that they were at least keeping the legacy alive. I enjoyed that. And there was no like, oh, this it, isn't this the same woman? Which, you know, there was no pretense, as opposed to so many people who have used your image, your voice, and sort of try to pull a fast one on the general public, which is which you have fought, you have gotten legislation for. So I mentioned that, I don't know, like I said, 1990, all of a sudden I'm hearing your voice everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it is an unmistakable voice. And they're saying, oh, this is Black Box, oh, this is CNC Music Factory. And I turn on the TV and there's this like skinny bitch in a bustier mouthing your voice. And I'm thinking, but that's not Martha Wash. That's Martha Wash's voice. Mm-hmm. How did you find out?
I was in a hotel room. We're going to go back into that whole thing again. Lord, it's been 30 years.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, I've survived it. Everybody's moved on. Those that haven't passed have moved on.
Yeah.
So.
And what I didn't know, David Cole of CNC Music Factory had been your pianist?
He was our musical director, yes.
For the Weather Girls or for you?
Oh my God.
So you went back with David.
Yeah. Well, David had, he had his own kind of production company, and he was always working on music, always. Mm-hmm. And I worked with him in the studio as far as doing demos for him for songs that he was trying to, you know, get other artists to record. And that's how I met Robert as well. And so, yeah, I had known him from him being the music director for us. Then he went on to become one of the keyboard players for Isley Jasper Isley.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he went on to, they went on and started their production company.
And so the way I understand it, because again, it's such a long, ugly story, but people don't understand session singers and studio singers come in and do demos, as you said, mm-hmm. and they for a producer or a writer to hear their songs and try to shop around to other singers. Mm-hmm. So your understanding is I'm making this demo that no one other than other artists are going to hear.
Yeah, as far as you know.
Right. And that's how you are paid. You're also paid as a demo singer versus a lead singer on a commercial release.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And which was the first song? Because it seems, Martha, can I just tell you, it seems like everyone tries to screw you. I mean, I say that with love, but
I'm not the only one. It just got, how should I say? It became notorious, or there was notoriety behind it. Yeah.
And you fought back, which I think that's what made us actually realize it, because it was, I guess, was the first song, the seduction song?
The seduction song I didn't deal with so much so.
But that was the first time that it had happened that we know of.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And so when Gonna Make You Sweat came along,
which was huge, number one.
Yeah, it was really, really crazy.
And that was different because it was number one, you were the lead singer for the whole song, and somebody was miming you in a video.
Yeah.
So that's so blatant. And
story again.
Oh, and Black Box is happening at the same time, roughly.
Roughly.
You know, it was all within a year or two.
Less than a year.
Really? That short a time?
Yes. Yeah.
But, go ahead.
hey, we got it all straightened out because I.
Well, what I loved is not only did you take them to court and got a law passed to protect other artists, you also ended up doing another record with them and touring with them.
Yes, I did.
So, I mean, I think that you come out of this so well because you help others. And, it, you know, sometimes people don't want to fight because it will hurt their career. You actually got opportunities out of it.
Well, with CNC Music Factory, they came back around after some time and asked me if I wanted to, I wound up recording the second album with them. And so, you know, time had passed and I said, okay, you know.
Because it's a gig. A gig is a gig.
Well, not so much that I was trying to put all of that behind. Try and put all of that behind me. And I guess maybe accept the olive branch or extend the olive branch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, either way.
Yeah, either way. And so it worked out until David Cole had become ill. And then when he passed, we were on tour. We were just really kind of starting out there again. And when he passed, everybody came home and the tour was canceled.
You know, I found another clip. Again, people, if you're watching this after the fact, sorry. There was an episode of Dr. Ken, the sitcom. Do you know this clip? Do you know the clip that I'm going to show?
I think so.
Okay. So I'm going to just show the clip and then we can talk about it and see how you would have handled the situation.
Okay.
Excuse me. That's my voice you used. I don't know what you're talking about, sweetie. Yeah, you do, sweetie.
Look, if you got some kind of beef, you should call our lawyer.
It's not about the money. It's about what's right. And you guys can ignore what I'm saying, but you can't ignore this. Big deal, you can sing a hook. Itchy, gitchy, ah, ya, da, da. Oh, itchy, gitchy, ah, ya, hee, ya.
Okay, so this is starting to get weird.
Now, that is Zelma and Freedom, right?
I've not seen that one. Okay.
That's Zelma and Freedom, right?
I believe so. Yeah. No, that looks like Zelma and Robert.
Oh, is that Robert?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you're right. You're right. It's not Freedom. It's Robert. Did you? And I heard you say something very complimentary about Zelma, that she could actually sing.
Yeah, she could.
She wasn't just a model lip syncing.
No, she could sing.
Just what couldn't sing your voice.
Well, no, she sings.
You're you.
Mine.
She's her. Yeah, yeah. Did you have any interaction with her? What would you have done in a situation like that?
What you mean with the?
If you would ever confronted somebody who had been, you know, lip syncing your voice.
I did actually.
Oh yeah. Do tell, Martha.
Oh Lord, that was Black Box.
That's Cecina or whatever, Starina, whatever, that Italian woman.
Catherine Cuneau.
Okay. Well, close enough.
Yeah, close enough. Okay.
So what happened?
Quick story, because I don't have much time.
I know.
They were performing at a club in New Jersey, the Zanzibar.
Mm-hmm.
Old club, dance club, years ago. And we got word that they were going to be performing. So Izor and myself and a couple other people, we went over there to see the show. And she lip synced the songs on stage and everything.
Oh.
And So we were going to go backstage and speak to him. When we walked into the dressing room, there were two doors. We walked in one door. She walked out of the other door. And I never did see her. Oh, Lord.
So she's not stupid. Or she's lucky.
I was just going to say hi.
I want to tell people you've got new music out, Love and Conflict, which is great. Yeah, it is such a great CD. I'm going to show it again. People can get it on the Amazon. And I have two favorite songs on it. I got Flowers Blossom and, what is the other song? Because I don't want to play the clip, but it's Honey. Honey, My Love.
Oh, Honey, My Friend.
My Friend, excuse me. But so I've got a I love the lyrics in this show and the song. All of the songs, actually, but they really show a softer side of you that it's really stripped down and you just hear the voice. So I want to ask you, some hold a grudge, some play the judge, and some let go. Mm-hmm. Martha, which one are you?
Read them back to me again.
Some hold a grudge. Some play the judge, and some let go.
Some let go.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever been the other two?
Oh, sure. I played the judge.
Yeah.
And yes, I played the other one.
Some hold a grudge?
Yeah.
Not healthy.
Not exactly. That's why I try not to. I'm not perfect, but I will say, because I'm really not quick necessarily to forgive. Depending on the severity of the situation, but over time, I can eventually let it go. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But then there are other times, sometimes if you, kind of squash it or get it settled,
right,
you can let it go quicker.
Yeah, it depends how quickly.
It depends how quickly, yeah.
I'm going to bring Jeannie in. I'm going to show a quick clip of you two singing together, and then I know we've only got you a couple minutes. So let me show this clip, and I'll bring Jeannie out. This is you and Jeannie performing together, which I love.
Tonight for the first time, just to find out
joined by Jeannie Tracy.
Hello.
You know, I know Jeannie from that laugh.
Hey girl, how you doing?
Hello.
How did you two meet?
Honey.
Oh, I had
Jeannie. It was at
Harvey Fuqua, right? Oh no. Backstage at the Elephant Walk.
I didn't meet you at Harvey Studio first.
No, Elephant Walk.
Exactly. At the Elephant Walk in the Castro,
right,
in San Francisco. She came to see one of our shows and came backstage and introduced herself and told me that my brother used to play for Jeannie.
No.
Huh?
No. What happened was I kept looking at you saying that you looked familiar.
Oh, okay.
And you said I did too. And so you started talking about Polly, your high school going to England.
Okay.
And I said, what did you say your name is? And you said, Martha. I said, what's your last name? And you said, Wash. And I said, oh my God, you're Ralph's sister. And she said, and you said, what's your name? I said, GD Tracy. You said, oh my God, he talks about you all the time. And that's when I said, you know, that's when we found out that Ralph was my guitar player.
Yeah, that's funny.
How did you guys, when did you guys start working together? It was with Sylvester, correct?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
And Jeannie, now you were like a backup, you were a pit singer with the band, right?
I was a pit singer at the live show.
Right.
But she also sang a lot of the background session singers doing with Sylvester and with Two Tons of Fun.
Oh, you did. That's you sang with Martha and Izor.
Yeah, on recordings on a lot of our songs. She did the background, like three-part harmony, you know.
Right, yeah. Right.
Wow.
I always say they were the tons and I was the fun.
But now you get to perform together. I found so many clips of the two of you together. Oh, that must be a ball.
Yeah. It is, and we have a third person in there, Charlene Moore.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. When you get all three of us together doing, because we do Sylvester Tribute.
Sylvester Tribute, right.
So,
and he's watching too.
Yeah, people have just gone nuts for that.
Yeah.
And we will, you know, in June during Pride Month, we will do a Sylvester show. We'll have all of you on. But Jeannie, I just want you to tell that Sylvester had wanted you and Martha each, not together, to sing at his memorial service.
Yes.
Can you tell the story, please, Jeannie?
Yes.
Because it just makes
Sylvester
me laugh.
Said, I want you and Martha to sing at my funeral. And and he used to tell me he didn't do weddings or bar mitzvahs when I asked him to sing at my wedding. And so I said, I looked at him, I said, I don't do funerals and bar mitzvahs. So he said, I said, what do you want us to sing? He said, what's that song that you and Martha sing everywhere you go? I said, touch somebody's life. He said, please, please don't sing that one.
Oh my gosh.
I thought he was going to say, please sing that one.
Uh-huh.
One of my favorite songs for Martha to sing was Touch Somebody's Life. In fact, I even learned it. But when he said that, I died laughing. You know, it was so funny.
Martha, what did you end up singing at his funeral?
I wasn't able to go.
Oh, really?
I couldn't get out of work. I had Izora and I had a show.
Oh.
And we couldn't get back there to California and get back to New York in time, and we were already contracted, you know what I'm
right.
saying? So there was really no kind of way that we could get out of it.
Yeah.
We really did want to go. We really did want to go. And what happened was Izora's sister stepped in for us and kind of in our stead to represent us, you know, so I really did want to be there. I really
Yeah, and I know that all of you have done a lot of Sylvester tributes and documentaries and stuff.
But
just
what
wrapping
we did
up, Mark. Oh, go ahead.
What we did end up doing was a big tribute right after the funeral. Martha and I and Izora, and we did a great big tribute, and they had his clothes hanging up in the ceiling. You know, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Martha, I know, has to go. Martha, just before you go, what do you take away from your time with Sylvester?
Fun. Learning a little bit about the business. And his crazy friendship. You know, he was really just one of a kind. Just one of a kind. And I loved him. He drove me crazy. And I probably drove him crazy too at times. But when it was all said and done, he was a proud gay black man. You know, that was way ahead of his time. And I say that because of what you see today. We're talking, when did it pass, in 88, 89, up until now. I always say, if he had been the same age then and he was alive now, it would have been nothing regarding him and his sexuality.
Right.
And being a gay, you know, a gay black man and an entertainer. It would have been nothing.
Maybe because he lived and did that over 30 years ago, look at what we have now.
He set the pace for everybody else.
Right.
Yeah. Definitely.
Martha, I adore you. I'm so glad we got to catch up doing this. We will do. We've got so much. I haven't even asked you about Centipede.
Oh, next time.
As Jennifer Lewis always says to me, I will see you in the sequel. Martha, I love you. Thank you for doing this. Please take care of yourself. People, go out there and get Love and Conflict. It is so great. This pandemic hit just as you were about to go out and promote it. So it kills me.
Exactly. We were supposed to premiere it at the South by Southwest Festival, and they just shut it down.
You know, when this all ends, we will all be back performing and hitting the circuit. And I can't wait to see you guys in person. Martha, thank you so much.
Fingers crossed soon.
Take care. Please take care of yourself, and I'll see you soon.
Too. See you later, Jeannie. I'll call you later.
You better call me, girl.
Bye, Martha.
Bye-bye.
Jeannie. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. How
Jeannie,
are you?
I have to show you this picture of us I found. This is going to make you laugh.
Oh, no. I hope it makes me laugh. Oh, my God.
Look how cute we are.
Oh, it's so cute.
We're adorable, and y'all like sweating. I think you just came off stage in that yellow outfit that I loved. Used to have a hat with it. Do you remember?
Yes, yes. I still have it.
Well, don't let it go anywhere, because I want to wear the hat next time.
You know what? Rob Cooper, he said, you're going to have a ball. He said, with Billy, you're going to have a ball.
Look, he said
he's going to make you blush. I said, well, you make me blush.
Okay? I was just going to, first off, I know I can't make you blush, but what I do know is, all I remember about being backstage the first time I met you at that show, which I think is LA Pride as well, is us laughing. I just remember you were so joyful and so fun. And then you'd go out and sing your ass off and then come back and be laughing again. Like, you're just so happy.
Oh, well, you know, before the show, did I talk to you before the show or after the show?
I was hosting, so it was probably before and after.
Okay, because usually I'm really odd before the show. I'm very quiet because I'm so nervous, you know.
Really? And Martha also said she gets nervous.
And she just told me that like recently, and I never ever realized that she was nervous ever.
And you know, I've been backstage with both of you. I never noticed that about her. So again, you never know.
No, you never know. I mean, I'm not at the point of throwing up or nothing, but as Barbara Streisand, but I'm so nervous. I get almost cotton mouth.
Really?
And I work myself out of it once I get started and get the crowd, and the crowd is going, then I work myself out of it and I'm fine. And it really fuels me to, you know, sing harder, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
So again, talking to Martha, the same thing, somebody who can sing backup and somebody that can sing leads, people don't realize how hard it is. Harder, I think, to sing backup and harmonize. What's harder for you?
Well, I really love to sing backup. I really like singing backup better than even getting out doing a lead show, because all you have to do is throw me in a dark studio, honey, I'm going for it. But I think it's much harder to sing backup.
I think so too.
And I'm so glad that you touched upon this subject, because a lot of people think, oh, she's just a backup singer. But honey, we're the ones that make those lead singers sing. Okay.
Well, again, as I've said, anybody out there can sing lead. To find your harmony above, below, a third, a fifth, a seventh. I mean, or with a choir, and find your slot.
Your slot. And then not only that, you're trying to blend with the people that are around you.
Yeah, you need a good ear.
You have to have a good, baby, you better have a good ear.
You need a better ear than you do a voice, frankly. Have you ever had to jump in and sing lead for something that you were singing backup for?
Probably if I was supposed to.
Yeah.
But not that somebody...
Like an emergency.
No.
Did you ever, when you were a pit singer for Sylvester and the girls, were mm-hmm. either of them ever sick and you just had to go up on stage and fill in?
No. The first time that I sang as a pit singer was at the live audience, the live show at the uh-huh. opera. And
which Sylvester, is such a great show.
Oh, my God. It was... I cried.
Did you pinch yourself that even exists?
Oh, my God. It's the best show that I've ever been on. And really? I tell you, I can't even listen to that album today.
Really?
Because it makes me cry. Yeah, it makes me cry. I remember being with Izora. I always loved singing with them because, I mean, they were the best singers. And the other girl was Sharon Himes that sang with me as the pit singer. And Martha and Izora fought for me to be with Sylvester. Sylvester wanted me, and
wanted
me. You know, it was like a family type thing. It was supposed to be myself, the girls, Sylvester, the girls, myself, and Eric Robinson. You know, doing albums and that kind of thing. But when Sylvester suggested that, Martha and Izora said yes, you know, and I was happy. The other girl said, well, they didn't like me. I said, no, it was just they only needed one voice. And so my voice freed Sylvester up from having to jump in and sing background because he would do lead and then have to jump and do
that. Oh, would he double? Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's how that happened. So I set myself right in the middle, okay? And I was friends with Martha and Izora before I got in the group, you know, so it was an easy slide in, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying?
You know, one thing, and I don't know if this is true, but friends of mine who were around that time told me that of everybody, you were the one that Sylvester was closest to, that you were like his best girlfriend. Is that true?
I think so. He was friends and brother to the two girls also. Mm-hmm.
I hear you're the one he would go shopping with and go to dinner with and hang out.
Yes, because I love to shop and I love to go ice skating on the road. I took my ice skates with me. And we go shopping and people would stop on the streets and hover around him and they follow us in the stores. It was maddening, I'm telling
Jeannie, I will give $100 to the charity of your choice if you have a picture of you and Sylvester ice skating.
No, he didn't ice skate. He watched
All right, me. Even you ice skating. $100, whoever you want. You sent it to me.
I probably do have a picture of
Okay,
me.
You send it to me later.
I was very small then too.
Look, I don't care what size you are. I love you, so it doesn't matter. Do you, you know, speaking of size, because really, Izora and Martha, again, marketed as two tons of fun. Did the weight issue, is that a good thing or a bad thing for a singer in terms of the voice? I know everybody is different, but I know a lot of people who say, the bigger I am, the more support I have.
Yes. I think my voice, I'm not as big as I used to be. And I've been much, much smaller. And I think my voice was a lot thinner when I was smaller. And my girth helped my voice to be fuller.
Oh, really? So it did help your voice?
Yeah, it did help a lot.
And do you notice when you were smaller that the voice just didn't have the power?
It didn't have the power and it was thinner. It was a cute voice, you know, but but I did miss a friend of mine pointed that out to me because I didn't realize that. He goes, Jeannie's lost weight, so she lost all of her power, her, you know, her fullness in her voice. And I said, no, I didn't. But I did, because when you listen back, you know,
you can hear it.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I just know, and I have said this, I'm the one, and you always tell me that I'm the one that keeps bringing this up. Of all of your hits, and there were so many hits, Time Bomb is my favorite.
I'm
proud to say Time Bomb. I know, of all songs. I listen to it in the car constantly.
Really? Okay.
And you look just as surprised now as the first night I said it to you. Because I kept saying, go sing Time Bomb. She's like, look, I don't have Time Bomb in the set.
Right.
What is the song that everybody wants to hear from you?
Cha-Cha Heels.
Yeah, all right. So let's talk
about that.
You know, the 90s, 2000s, you were with your I don't want to say your voice changed, but certainly the music you were doing changed in that there was more of a Latin feel to it. Yeah. And is that the Rosabel years? Is that who it was?
That was the Rosabel. And that came about. That came about. I did a song called Stand Strong. And
yes, of course.
I flew to Chicago where Ralphie Rosario stays. And mm-hmm. we went in the studio, Abel, Ralphie, and I. And we did the song, and then I went home. But in between that, we were kind of playing around, and they were walking around with air high heels on, like they had high heels on. They said, we're going to get our cha-cha heels on for this one. And I said, ooh, I would love to have a song called Cha-Cha Heels. I love that title, right? So at the end of Stand Strong, I started ad-libbing, just acting crazy, just throwing everything in there, but I was just having fun. I wasn't trying to lay anything down. And I was going, get your cha-cha heels on, you know, give them to me, baby, you know. And so in the beginning, they were, you know, the DJs don't talk. So
right.
they asked me to do an ID for them, you know. So mm-hmm. I did the ID, you know, and I said, you know, Rosabel is going to set this house on fire, baby. Are you ready for this? You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So they called me when I got home weeks later and said, something's happening. I said, what's happening? And they said, well, I said, Stand Strong? No. I said, well, I didn't do anything else. They said, Ralphie and I put a song together. We were doing CeCe Peniston.
Oh,
and we
right,
thought,
sure.
Let's do a fun song. Well, not that hers wasn't fun, but they were, you know, I'm just making that clear, but because I love CC, but
I love CC too.
But they want to do like a kind of a camp song, you know. And so they start throwing all this stuff that I had done with them years before. They don't like for me to tell this story.
Sure.
And they start throwing all this trash in there, all this stuff I was doing. And I said, well, let me hear it. And when he played it for me, I said, when did I do all of that? They said, you did every single bit of it. You know, so they put Gloria Estefan horns in it.
Yeah, those horns at the beginning.
Those horns,
great.
Yeah. And so they put that, get your cha-cha in it and give it to me, baby. And took something else from another song I had done, put that in there. And so that's how Cha-Cha Heels evolved, you know.
You know, it's funny because we didn't talk about it with Martha, but I know when a lot of her demos and songs were used for songs that she didn't even know she was recording.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times a songwriter or a producer will have you come in and they might only have a hook or they'll have a phrase and they don't know what they're going to do with it. And that, you know, I say this, you know this, but I'm saying this for people at home, that you can be playing and next thing you know, they add a background and put your layer vocals over it and you have a new song.
Right. I mean, it's amazing what you can do. You were talking to Martha about how beat up she's been in the business. You know,
yeah.
I've also got not to the extent of like she has been, but you know, I had once a guy came and recorded me and gave me a few little nickels. And I looked at it because I'm always really careful about my pennies. Right.
Oh, really? Okay.
And you have to be. And so, he went off and to Europe and got put it out. And then he changed his number. Mm-hmm. I mean, up, even today, I can't even catch up with them or do anything about it, you know.
Right. Yeah, but especially when it's overseas. What can you
overseas,
do?
Overseas, right.
And that's, people should know there is a huge Italian dance music and German dance music. I mean, there are songs that we don't ever hear over here in the U.S. that are huge hits overseas.
Yeah. I when I was doing demos, I didn't do a lot of demos, but I've done my share.
Yeah.
I used to have a person fill out a form that says you can't put this out for a recording or for sale. And that kind of helped, you know, so you have to talk to me, you know, if you're going to do this. Working with Harvey Fuqua, I learned a lot of things about business, and, you know, trial and error will make you pay attention to your business too, you know, and getting beat up will make you pay attention.
And well, so, and I think that what you and Martha and so many others went through, Darlene Love, God knows. You know, is that it does, if nothing else, it hopefully teaches the singers today what to look out for and to really treat it. I mean, it's fun, it's entertainment, it's dance, but it is a business and it's your livelihood. I mean, yeah. I don't think people realize that, you know, singers don't really get a lot of money in the studio. All you have is your name and your voice. That's what you have.
I've been fortunate to work with producers in this area like Narda Michael Walden, and this I've been with him over 30 years.
Wow.
He still will call me in to do sessions, but the sessions aren't like they used to be. It's like he was fortunate enough to produce like Whitney Houston, Aretha Franklin, you know, people like that, Barbara Streisand. Celine Dion, I sang on the Titanic and I'm still living, okay?
the people you have sung background for and have done studio work for and toured with, because you've also toured a lot. I mean, it's basically, if anyone had a hit in the past 20 years, your voice is on there somewhere.
Yeah. But the cool thing about that, Billy, is that singing with Walter Afanasieff, who was Mariah Carey's producer, and Narda Michael Walden, we had a union behind us. Thank you very much.
Yes.
So now I'm able to get residuals from those songs, those movies and things like that. So I'm grateful for that, because there was a time that the singers way back when didn't get that union support. You know, they maybe
or
got
credit.
$25 a song or something.
The thing is that people were paid for the session, and that was it.
That was it. Yeah, right. So I'm really grateful to, you know, have that in my purse.
Well, especially during this pandemic, because I know about you, you're on the road. Yeah, and especially during Pride season, honey, you're everywhere.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing is I don't have to, people say, what are you doing? I'll say nothing. And I don't want to do anything. And something spoke to me once and said, I put you in this position so that you don't have to work every single day. Yeah. You know, you can work when you feel like it or when there's a call. And so that I appreciate as well, that I don't have to I can relax sometimes.
Well, you've paid your dues. You've done the work. Your voice lives on. I mean, speaking of Titanic, your voice lives on. And people know it. People love you. They may not know the name, but they know the voice.
But they've heard the voice.
And when they hear it, they're like, there's that voice. It's like, now somebody's going to yell at me when I say this. What's the woman who sang for Boy George? Helen Terry.
Yes.
Is that her name?
No,
is that her name? Something like that.
Something like that.
All right. Yeah, but anyway, knew that woman in the background singing Church of the Poison Mind. They're like, oh, that's right. That voice. They know.
Right.
They knew Lolita Holloway. They knew that.
Oh, my God, Lolita.
Come on.
We were running down the streets with our clothes one night in San Francisco.
All right, I want a picture of that, too.
Jeez. I don't have a picture of that. The little boy, she was on stage that night, and I saw her. And we were running down the street. She had her clothes in her hand, and we were running down the streets talking, you know, laughing, talking, because she was running late. But she was a hoot, honey, and a great, great singer. You know,
How did you first meet Sylvester? Was it when Martha and Izora brought you in, or did you meet him on your own?
No, the story goes
that
he walked in Honey Records, Nancy Pitts and Harvey Fuqua, and I was there, and I was working. I was in this. They had a little room where you could write songs and that kind of thing, and so. They called me in the meeting with this guy, you know, and he had on a coat and he had on some bracelets. And so they were talking, they were laughing and talking. And they said, oh, Jeannie, this is Sylvester. I said, Sylvester? Oh, I thought you was a woman. He goes, I said, oops, I'm sorry. He goes, oh, no, girl, that's all right. And so we hit it off right away, right? And so he gave me, he said, I have a gown for you.
Of course he did.
And it was a blue, royal blue sequin fishtail gown. Because I had body then.
Hello.
I got body now.
You do.
But it was strapless. And he gave me that gown, and I wore it with pride, okay? But that's how I met him at Honey Records.
Did he ever want the gown back?
Did he what?
Did he want the gown back ever?
No, no.
Oh, look, we've got...
That he gave me, I could keep it, you know?
All right.
I had leather pants, you know?
Joe Walsh is saying much respect for her and all her music. Jeannie Tracy, the queen of tribal in Brazil. You're tribal, Jeannie.
Yes, tribal.
All right, well,
that came from Rosabelle and also Alter, my Brazilian producer.
Oh, we didn't talk about Alter because, again, you are the voice of Alter. Again, these are all songs that, again, people may not hear them all on the radio, but you go to a club.
Yeah.
You're dancing to that music.
That's right. That's right.
You know, we didn't even talk about this, but the gay community has been so supportive of you and Martha and so many of the divas, particularly the dance divas.
Yes.
Is how much of the career is because of the gay community?
Most all of it, except, you know, like I said, I tell people.
Except that Fuqua, I know.
Right. Those people you have to pay, you know, homage to. So, but the gay community has supported me 100%. In fact, they've spoiled me. So, I mean, so you don't even want, you know, it's so boring to do a straight club. I mean, they support you. They come out. They party. And
they treat you like a queen.
Oh my
they really
God,
do.
They treat you. My husband once went on the road with me. And he said, you live like this. I said, I better live better than what I live. Or, you know, or the same as what I live, you know. Because they put you up so beautifully. And, the limos, the food, the whatever you want. And they treat you. When they come to the shows, they just... give you so much love.
Yeah, it seems to me, because I've seen you on stage so many times, and it really is a two-way street, because they may give you a lot of love, but you give a lot of love. And I've seen you get really emotional, that you must feel that wall of love coming towards you.
Yeah, you do. I'll have to say I went to London. When I finally, Martha told me, she said, girl, you got to meet the masses now. You got to stop being scared to fly and you got to meet the masses. So I bought 3 pieces of Louis Vuitton, right?
Of course you did.
And my husband said, why'd you spend all this money on this? You're not going anywhere. I said, yes, I am. And so I did. I went to London for my first gig. Was I forget the name of this place, but it was a very popular place, a very famous place. And I remember wearing this red sequin outfit. And I was so scared. Oh, my God. I looked at the audience and I said, I got shoes older than these kids. And so I went out there. And the moment I walked out there, the kids started to just scream and jump. And then when I started singing, I started to cry.
Oh, I bet.
And I said, I finally got my big butt on a plane. I said, ass, really.
You can say ass on my show. It's fine.
And so they screamed when I said that, and I was just boohooing, you know, and they just saw my emotion and they just screamed so loud. I couldn't even hear anything but these screams. And so that was one of the times that I really remember, you know, getting really emotional on a show, you know.
Oh, we got more comments. So Sean Manning, hi Sean, says the genie.
Oh, Sean
Tracy,
Manning.
We love Sean. We both work for Sean.
Okay.
The queen of Southern decadence every year. Do you like doing Southern decadence?
16 years. Oh, every single.
And the best food. Come on.
Oh yeah. Chuck Robinson runs that show.
Yes.
And he asked me to, Martha and I were on the very first show there.
Oh, wow, really?
And that's when I told the audience, Billy, I said, you think that Martha's on the show and I'm on the show. I said, but Martha and I have history. Because you have a lot of youngsters that don't know that, right?
Yeah, right.
And so I said, Martha and I were part of Sylvester's group, the Tons. I said, they were, like I said earlier, they were the Tons and I was the fun.
You were.
And so I said, that was the only group I knew that traveled with suitcases, no clothes in the suitcases, just food.
Just food. Oh, and God, so, I had missed out on that.
And it's true because Izora, not Martha, but Izora used to have those great big steamer trunks.
Oh, yeah, right.
That you open up. And she had pots and pans. And the dresser didn't have any clothes in it. She had bacon and eggs and stuff like that. And one
That's
night,
like Patty does that, too.
Who's that?
Patty LaBelle.
Yeah, Patty.
She's always cooking in the hotel room.
Right, and hot sauce. Okay.
Oh no, that's in her purse. Are you kidding? You know Miss Patty and her hot sauce.
So, so I was talking,
uh-huh.
And the promoter didn't realize that Martha and I had been together before, and he says,
for
"I
decades.
Didn't know that you were part of Sylvester's group." I said, "Yeah, I was part of the." They started calling them the Tons.
Right.
Not 2 tons, but the Tons. And so some people try to act like I wasn't there.
Uh-huh.
But I was all up in there, okay?
Well, that's the thing. That's why I wanted to say it, because I think, you know, people, you know, it's like most groups, even like a Destiny's Child, there are always other singers augmenting
right.
them.
Right.
And so there, you know, there's a group, but somebody like, well, who are those people over there? I said, those are the backup singers for the backup singers.
Yeah.
I know we had Sherry Payne on here when we did a tribute to Mary Wilson a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And when Diana wanted to do the Return to Love tour with Mary and Cindy, they called Sherry and Sherry said, I figured they needed me to be a pit singer, that I was going to be with the band.
Uh-huh.
And she ended up, of course, on stage. But I don't think people know that there is so much talent that goes into a show. It's not just what you see on stage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, look, Robbie just wrote me and says he has video of that first show of Southern Decadence.
Robbie DeLeon?
Robbie, you got to send that to me, too.
Robbie DeLeon?
Yes,
I love
of course.
Robbie.
You know Robbie,
Hi, Robbie.
Is watching.
Wow.
Joe Welch. Yeah.
Joe Welch.
Joe Welch, she's the gay diva of Brazil. She's
hey.
A queen here. All right, you're a queen. Jesus. What is this?
Bonics. I speak no. Stan Bonics in my songs.
No, wait, this is Elsie Arnold. Jeannie, your cousin
oh,
here.
Cousin. Yeah, my cousin.
he needs to talk about the musicals you've been in. Okay, well, we'll talk about the musicals. Jeannie Tracy did a musical based on Mahalia Jackson.
Yes.
Because I remember that one. Were there other shows you did, or was that the big musical?
Right Mind. I did a show called Right Mind where there was a cone in the middle of the stage with a big hole in it. And the actors had to stand, I mean, it was huge. And the actors had to walk around it and it was spinning. And I said, I would be the first one to fall. Just let me.
You're not going. Why don't you just go into the cone and just sit? Yeah. All right, but we'll talk about Mahalia. So you did this musical, which was about Mahalia Jackson, and you played Mahalia.
Yes, I played Mahalia in New York with George Faison.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And it was called Mahalia, a Gospel Singer, correct?
Sing Mahalia Sing.
Oh, okay.
And I took Jennifer Holliday's place. And I'm always so quick to say, yes. Oh, yes, I'll do it. And then when it comes time, I go, oh, my God, what am I doing to my life? You know, and
you're going out there. That's what you do.
Going out there and just be ready, you know.
Yeah, right.
Even if you aren't, just be ready. And so that was a great experience. And I played her again about 5 years ago in San Francisco. Are you there, Billy?
I'm here. Okay. I'm just showing off all your records.
Oh, God.
I'm showing off the bling.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's from my background work and stuff, you know.
But there is, again, look, that's what people don't understand, looking at all of it, that, again, just because you don't know the name doesn't mean that they're not hugely successful and respected in the business.
There's levels.
And everybody, you know, again, I know so many of you. Because I've worked with so many.
Yeah,
of you.
I know.
But when I mention Jeannie Tracy's name, what the first thing people do is smile. Because again, you make people so happy. Aww. Look, Robbie DeLeon just wrote, "Hi, Jeannie Tracy," and put next to it.
Hi, Robbie.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, and Sean Manning wrote, "I love you both." So there you go. Thank you,
Hi,
Sean. Because we're all going to need Sean to hire us when things open up.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, now what have you missed the most during this pandemic? Is it the live performing?
The live performances and, you know, just meeting the people. Because I'm really a people person. I mean, you know that.
Yeah, you stay after a show forever.
Yes, I will. I would definitely. And I always tell, like, security guards, I said, if they say they know me, let them in. But what are they going to do when they get in there? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So these are people that want to touch you. They want to see you. They want to, you know, talk to you. And sometimes my fans become friends.
Oh, sure. I know that. And again, one of the things I love about you, and I've seen you do this, you remember the people who come to like every gig. Like, oh, I recognize you. You were in San Francisco two years ago. Like, you're like that.
I really am. And there's so many people that will do that. They'll follow you. One child told me I had a black sequin gown on. And he goes, oh, I loved you in that. In San Francisco, I was in L.A., he goes, I saw you in San Francisco. I said, oh, no, you won't clock me for that, honey. That was okay. That was a blue one. This is black. Oh, that's right. Oh, no, you're not going to do that to me.
You know, I showed the clip of you and Martha singing It's Raining Men.
Yeah.
And what is it like for you to be up there with her and singing Izora's part? It, you know, it's got to be sort of bittersweet that she's not here.
Oh, yeah. I loved Izora. Izora brought me to Germany.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes.
You got on a plane the second time.
Right. She actually wanted me to be a weather girl.
Oh, instead of her daughter?
But things were happening for me in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was before. Her daughter was working and didn't really want to do it at first. So they asked me to do it.
Okay.
And so I couldn't because things were happening for me in Europe and I needed to go see, you know, what it was. So she said I so graciously turned her down. But there was a point that Dinelle, her daughter, speaks very fluent German. And so she got a movie part. So Izora called and said, I have all these dates. I said, well, okay, listen, if you want me to fill in some dates, I'll be glad to do that. So that's what I told her in the beginning. And I said, if you have some dates and I'm not busy, I'll come over and, you know, fill those dates for you.
Sure.
So that's what ended up happening. And I remember going to Germany and I stayed with Izora and we had the best time because Martha, Izora and I, we had so much fun when we were with Sylvester. And going back over to going to Germany to visit her was just like old times.
Yeah, because again, you're reliving that.
Reliving it. And I didn't realize.
And all that music. I mean, did you do a whole Weather Girls, tons of fun music?
Tons of fun.
Sylvester.
Yes. So Izora was so good to me. And
oh,
so,
great.
And I was cooking over there because, you know, she liked fast food. I said, we going to the commissary and I'm going to be cooking. We rode the train together. And so we just reminisced. And the guy who wrote the book about Sylvester,
uh-huh.
he happened to be over there when I was there.
Oh, wow.
And so he had already interviewed me, but the two of us together was the great thing. She used to accuse me of loving Martha more. It was so funny. You love Martha more than you do me. I said, I love you both. Can I love you both? Come on.
When you sung background for singers, I know it's horrible to put you on the spot, but is there a singer that you like working with the most who's a lead singer and you've sung backup for?
Oh, gosh.
Okay, let's go the other way. Who did you like the least?
Well, you don't get to know them that way. You
really?
No, I don't.
You know, it's not like, you know, you could say, oh, that's Celine Dion.
No, because usually, you know, Billy, most of the time they don't come in the studio. They're so
no, cool. You're really working on your own these days. It's not like the old days.
I just did a thing for Whitney Houston for Reels, CBS.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted to know background, you know, musicians and singers. And I thought that was pretty interesting, you know, yeah. to get that take on talking to a backing singer. Well, how did it feel? It was so long ago. So I had to just kind of go back at how it felt to sing at one moment in time. Well, we only know that we're doing a song for Whitney. You know, we've never heard it, but I just had to go with the feel of how does it work feel to work for Narda Michael Walden, because he's so energetic. He's like you. He's very, very animated and very energetic. And so when he walks in the room, you feel this.
It brings you up.
Yeah, he brings you up. So you're already hyped up now and you're going to sing this Whitney Houston. So I had to go into that because that day, I didn't remember because there's been so many songs that I've sang on that belonged to her. So I just had to go into the feeling of all the times that we, you know, have backed her up.
Is there a favorite song that you look back on where you hear your voice that just has a special place for you?
Oh yeah. I'm Every Woman.
Really?
I'm Every Woman. There's a few, there's a couple of Celine Dion songs that they had me shadow her.
Uh-huh. Right.
Because they don't have time to fly to wherever she lives, or I've even shadowed Aretha, you know.
Oh, well, I can totally hear your voice and Aretha's blending. What, like I would hear that together and mm-hmm. think that makes it even more powerful.
Yeah. Because they, you know, they said, I just want you to shadow her on this part because you can't fly. She's not going to fly, you know. I will get on the plane. Aretha will not get on the plane. And so they just had me to just do something underneath something.
Right, and fill it in.
Right.
You know, that's the other thing is people don't realize when they hear even one voice, it's never just one voice.
Right.
Almost never.
Right.
Is there somebody that you always wanted to work with who you didn't work with?
Johnny Mathis.
Oh, all right. Well, it's not too late. Guess who I've got here? No, I don't have that. The next time you come back, we'll have you back with Johnny Mathis.
Oh, my God.
That was the one that got away, Jeannie.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. But I did get, I always wanted to work with Aretha.
Yeah.
And so I got that chance and some other people, too. Devin Camp.
What did you do with Aretha?
Oh, my God. It's up here on my wall. Freeway of Love. Freeway of Love. I didn't realize how many of these I had. I had them in a room, you know, like a hallway. And when she passed, is when I brought them out.
See, but that's great.
Yeah. And so.
Were they always good about giving you yours?
Narda was. And Narda, I think Walter gave me one. And there's so many that I don't have.
Oh, I'm sure. I know a lot of artists who didn't get there. So that's why I ask.
Yeah. But yeah, Narda was good about it. And Walter gave me one or two, something like that. But
all right, we'll get him on the phone.
And then he gave me the Celine one, too, you know, for that. And I got a Grammy for Carlos Santana as well.
Of course you did. Because you're the queen of Brazil.
It's not mine.
I'm looking to see if we got anything else. Oh, okay. So somebody just wrote, Johnny Gardner wrote, Living Proof live album is one of my favorites. Mine too, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. Mine too. I just can't listen to it now. Like I said, it makes me.
Yeah. I would bet.
Because it brings back all those. Oh, God. It brings back all those wonderful memories. I mean, that night was just magical. I'm telling you.
You know, a night that was less magical, you know, again, we'll do a show because we really should do a show with everybody and do a whole Sylvester show. But was it you who walked with him during the gay pride parade?
I was on a truck with him once.
Okay.
But when he was, you talking about when he was in the wheelchair?
When he was in the wheelchair.
I didn't walk with him. I was in a car.
Okay.
A Cadillac. In back of him, and he told me that he was going to be in the parade because I took care of him his last
year.
And so he.
And you didn't think he was going to be able to do it.
No, I said, are you going to be able to? Are you ready for this? Are you able to do this? He said, yes. I said, okay. And so I was riding in the car, and the thing that was so. When I was riding in the car and they saw the banner that said Sylvester. And people would go, oh, Sylvester. And then they go, oh.
Because they then saw
him. To cry. Yeah.
Did people know at that point, or was that the first time they really realized?
The first time they realized it. Because he was very private.
Yeah.
Right. His illness, you know, it was just a few of us knew. And, so it was very, very private. And right now, we are really protective of his name.
As you should be.
You know,
again, you're the ones who knew him. It should be
right,
you.
Right.
And I remember that, again, I always knew that he considered you family.
Yeah, he did. He called me Sister Jeannie, but that comes from when I was a young girl and the ministers. Or the people in the church used to call me Sister Jeannie. So he took that on and called me Sister Jeannie. Sister Jeannie.
Jeannie, what do you got coming up? Do you have anything in the can that's going to come out or any plans? Uh-huh. What's happening?
Go Strong, honey. It's called Go Strong.
Oh, okay. When's that coming out?
It's coming out very soon. I'm penning it right now. And the
you make sure when you've
done.
Got it done, you let me
know.
Yeah,
the music's already done. I'm just... You know, working out.
Do you have a home studio that you can record in, or what do you do?
I'm building one now.
Good. Look, yeah, I'm we got to do what we got to do.
Yeah, the guy is going to come in and set it all up for me. Everything's purchased.
All right, you be careful of this guy. Make sure he's wearing a mask because I don't want anything happening to my Jeannie.
That's why he hasn't been here yet.
Jeannie. I love you. We were going to do this like a few months ago. We had talked. Yeah. You were in the studio.
Yeah.
And the minute Martha told me she could only do half the show, I said, who's the perfect? And I went, Jeannie, that's who I'm calling. And so and people have to know. They don't know what happens behind the scenes and the conversations we have. I said to Jeannie, are you free Thursday? Without even finishing who was going to be on or what. And you texted me back within a second. You know, if I'm free, I'm there. Whatever you need. And then I said, it's going to be with Martha.
Right.
And you're like, even better. Like,
perfect. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Because she and I don't get a chance to do the interviews together. It's great. I thought it was great. And I was so excited when you told me that she was going to be on, you know.
Well, again,
me and Martha have stories. Okay.
Oh, I know. We need like the two of you just to sit and dish for like an hour.
Yes.
Sweetie, I love you. I wish I were in LA so I could see you, but
it'll be soon. Don't worry.
I know.
Again, okay.
I know. Martha, Jeannie, I love you so much. Thank you for always being a good friend to me and for always being there. And for being there, not only for me, because, I mean, I know you personally, but for the community, because the community really loves you and depends on you.
Right. They've been good to me. And so I want to be equally.
You've been good to us.
Yes.
Jeannie, thank you so much for doing the show. You and I will talk soon.
All right, darling. Love you.
Love you back, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Guys, that was Billy Masters Live. I have to tell you, you know, I should have announced this at the top of the show. Next Thursday, you're not going to believe this, from Martha Washer, Jeannie Tracy, to Christopher Atkins. Yes, another one of my friends. You know, this is my life. These are my friends. This is how I spend my pandemic, talking to Christopher Atkins and Martha Wash and Jeannie Tracy. So next Thursday, we're going to do a show with Christopher Atkins. Maybe he'll wear clothes. Maybe he won't. You know, I've got so much to talk about with everything going on. I was thinking I might do a show next Tuesday just to talk about current events and just babble, because I got a lot to say. I don't know. Well, look, go to, it's on this side, right there. Click on, if you're watching this on YouTube, go and click on the YouTube link, subscribe. That'll tell you when I'm doing shows, because frankly, I never know when I'm going to do a show. But I'm always here on Thursdays, Tuesdays, I'm busy. To watch any of our shows, go to billymasters.com/TV. All the shows are there. They're also on our YouTube page, which is Billy Masters TV. Thank you for watching. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you guys for always being there and having a good time and keeping us going. You know, as long as this pandemic's going on, I'm sitting here, because really, what else do I have to do? So anyway, this has been Billy Masters Live. I'm Billy Masters, and just remember, if we're here, we're live. Bye, guys. Have a good weekend.